episode of Routes Through Pokemon Adventures. I'm Shea Locke.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Rosella.
I'm Vavi.
And together we are a family journeying through the Pokemon anime series, the Pokemon Adventures manga, and what started it all, Ruby and I's adventures through the Pokemon mainline series of games. A while back we've finished up Red, Blue, and Yellow, and we're now getting through the Orange Island anime until we can finally get to Johto. But we're going to get to see a lot of Johto this week, because this week we are covering the Pokemon 2000 The Power of One movie and its accompanying short, Pikachu's Rescue Adventure. But before we get in there, I figure it's good to update things since it's been a while since we recorded. If you've been listening, you know that my son was hospitalized for a while and April just kind of vanished from our lives for a bit. But he is back home now. Still recovering, still has to be taken in for therapy a few times a week, but he's home, he's enjoying being home with his family and his siblings, and they are all happy to have him home, and of course, my wife and I are thrilled to have him home. And he's still showing signs of improvement, but even in that time, he's mastered his wheelchair pretty darn well, and we've just had a lot of help and kindness from many people around, which has still just kind of, we're still a little bit in awe of it all. So that's where all that's at, but hopefully we will now be back on a sort of regular schedule again. It's a little iffy still with all the therapy, so we have a lot going on over the summer, but the plan is to wrap up these Orange Islands in the next few weeks, and then we will probably take a month or two hiatus as we try to get a couple episodes ahead and while still dealing with life before we launch back into Gold and Silver and Crystal and the Johto anime. There'll be a little break for a bit. Alright, so, before jumping into the movie and short discussions, any updates on Pokemon-related things anybody has, or just in life in general?
Really, I don't think.
Yeah, we haven't really been playing any Scarlet and Violet lately. Rosella and I have some more Sword and Shield to cover soon. We were going to do it one night, but it was late, so we will probably do that in the next week or so or something, and see what more there is to discover on that weird adventure with what were the names again?
Swordbird and Shield? No. Swordbird and Shieldbird.
Oh, that's right. Swordbird and Shieldbird. So yeah, figure out what all that's about. That'll be fun.
I mean, when we went to the game store, I got these Pokemon cards with a Meridian in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And it was Electric and I think Future.
Oh, yeah, because Meridian is a future
side
Pokemon. Yeah, that's awesome. I like Meridian a lot, which is why I chose Violet.
I forgot what other future card I got, but I got it.
Oh, that's right. You did say you had another one, too. I tried to steal them from you, but you wouldn't let me.
Yeah, as soon as I got my thing back from you, I looked quickly through it and I shouted at you.
Yes, you did. And then, way back, I tried to be mean to Ruby and sign her up for the Pokemon Community Day for Bellsprout, but apparently you have to log in on the day to actually activate the quest, otherwise it goes away, and so she's not stuck with having to catch all those Bellsprouts, unfortunately. But on the other hand, she did have a friend over a little while back who she let play her Pokemon Go for a bit, and she used a golden raspberry to catch a Bellsprout for you.
So she had it out and I was like, no, don't use. You can catch it, I guess. Just don't use a golden raspberry. And then she slides up and goes, oops!
Ha ha. That was hilarious. And I definitely have a bunch of shiny ones to share with some people.
I want a shiny Bellsprout.
Me too.
He's so much.
Yeah. And then just yesterday was Bon Sweet Community Day.
What's Bon Sweet?
It's that little berry-looking Pokemon. I don't know.
Oh, I know it. It's pink, right?
Yeah. And if you get a shiny one, it has, purple leaves. And I only caught three shiny this time. Usually I get a lot more. But yeah, that was a fun day. And my first shiny for the Bone Sweet was actually a 3-star, which was surprising. So I was really happy about that. No perfects, but that's okay. Yeah, I think that's all I got for... Oh, and then we did wrap up the first part, finally, of Pokemon Horizons. Where we got that mysterious message from inside the turtle crystal thing that Liko has about... I even forget what he said. It was all weird nonsense. Part two has already dropped, but we were trying to make sure we just did a week at a time, which carried us over into the next part a little bit. So we still got plenty of episodes to keep watching, which we're happy about. And then I kind of got hooked into the bandwagon of watching through some X-Men 97, which I don't think is as good as some people are saying, but there is definitely a lot of awesome stuff in that show. But the weird time gaps between episodes really kind of threw me off, and I still feel they rushed some stuff in the show to get the moments they wanted, which kind of detracted from those moments just a little bit. But that finale was pretty phenomenal.
I'm pretty sure Liko and stuff got another ancient Pokemon in one of the episodes.
Yeah, they ended up helping out the Arbaliva, and it had a ancient Pokeball as like a clasp almost around its...
But I'm pretty sure the Arbaliva doesn't want to, but is the bad...
What? That's because you think the shadowy person was the bad person, but it wasn't.
But shadow...
The one that they saw when they were in, like, the... When the crystal thing, only Liko and Roy saw that person in the mist, and we only could see, like, their silhouette, and he said a couple things about, like, saving the world or something. I don't know.
No, not saving...
Capturing what? People?
What? He's a bad guy.
No, he's not!
Yes, he is.
I don't know where you got that idea.
He's a bad guy, the silhouette guy's a bad guy, the guy that we saw keeping track of him is also a bad guy. They're the same person, so they're both bad guys.
They are not the same person at all. That is so not true at all. You really had a weird interpretation of that episode. The guy they saw in that shadow, they ended up hearing that legend about the legendary Pokemon Master person. And that story that they were telling is about the person they saw inside there that told them their advice of what they have to go do. And the person that was watching things on their evil screen, being part of the bad explorer people with his little Umbreon, he's a totally different person. Doesn't look anything like the shape of the what we saw in the legend story or in the mist.
But why do the bad guys get all the cool Pokemon?
That's true. I am a little annoyed that they have Cerulege and Umbreon.
And Corviknight.
Oh, that's right. You're a big Corviknight fan because of your shiny Rookidee. I'm still bitter about that.
And now I have a shiny Corviknight.
Yes, you do. All right. Well, I think that catches us up on what's been going on. So let's say we dive into Pikachu's rescue adventure, eh? When we open up, once again, we just see like the silhouettes of the main characters and hear their voices, which are now Tracy, Ash, and Misty instead of Ash, Misty, and Brock. Because in all these little shorts, we never get to see their faces, really. We just see, like, some clothing and some shadows and all that. Which I think is a fun thing that they have carried on with. A bunch of the Pokemon are out of their balls and just sleeping under a tree. And then there's a loud buzzing. And then so then we see a swarm of Pokemon soaring overhead, which wakes up Togepi, who watches them. And what's really cool about these buzzing Pokemon is that they're not who you would expect. They're not Beedrill or Scyther or anything like that. They're Ledyba, which is a Pokemon we have not met yet.
Ledyba.
No. This is a Johto Pokemon, and the Johto games are still not out yet. In fact, I did some digging, I think, and I believe that the Japanese release of the movie came out the summer before Gold and Silver came out in Japan. And then I think it came out in like October, the games did. And then when they released the movie in America, the games were already out in Japan because the movie came out a year later in America, but it still came out in the summer before the games came out in the fall in America.
Wait, Japan has video games?
Seriously? Like, Nintendo is a Japanese company.
You mean Nintendo?
I mean Nintendo.
Why'd we change it?
Because we pronounce it like we see the letters. We don't make an E sound for an I.
Did Sword and Shield come from Japan?
All the Pokemon, well, like all the main Pokemon games are developed in Japan and made in Japan, yes.
So is Arceus made in Japan?
Yep. And then they translate them over here. I think nowadays they release all the games at the same time, though. Like they have them translated before they release them. But it used to be they would go out in Japan first and then come here. And it was actually really tricky for me growing up. Because I was a big fan of the Final Fantasy series of video games. And those were all made in Japan. And the first Final Fantasy game made it over to America for the Nintendo. Then when we finally got Final Fantasy II for the Super Nintendo, I loved that game. And then we got Final Fantasy III for the Super Nintendo, and I loved that game. And then when the PlayStation came out, they came out with Final Fantasy VII.
Was it the final one?
You're not paying attention. I got Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, and then 7 came out.
Wait.
So I was very, very confused, and you know what I learned?
What?
Final Fantasy 2 that I played is actually Final Fantasy 4. And Final Fantasy 3 that I played on the Super Nintendo was actually Final Fantasy 6. So there was a game in between those, Final Fantasy 5, and there was Final Fantasy 2 and 3 for the Nintendo.
That's enough.
Eventually everybody caught on, and we've gotten new releases of the old games that we never got and things like that. Everybody's on the same page, and any Final Fantasy 2 or 3 American version that comes out are now 4 and 6 like they're supposed to be. And all of them come out like they're supposed to now. But back then, that wasn't what they did.
So they messed up your game.
Yeah, well, they just figured that the other ones didn't need to come over here for some reason. I don't know. There wasn't enough interest or something. I don't know. So yeah, things have always been a little weird there. But yes, many games. The Metroid series, that was all developed in Japan.
The Metroid series? That was in Japan?
Yep.
What?
Most of my favorite games come from over there. Alright, so yeah, we have Lediba, which we hadn't seen before in any anime games or anything yet at this point. And then Togepi, with its curiosity piqued, like usual, tries to follow along while watching them. And, like, so I guess he's not following on foot. He's just, like, following along watching them. Like, he's watching them fly over his head, so he's tipping backwards. And then he eventually tips too far and rolls down the hill. And, and the hill just keeps on going. Like, it goes past some, like, branches and stuff. It's just, like, he's just rolling away. Which wakes up the rest of the Pokemon that are sleeping under the tree. And, of course, they're like, hey, where'd Togepi go? Then we see Meowth emerging from the woods with a backpack and a map, and he's by himself. So not with James or Jesse, which is not too surprising for Pikachu Short. He's complaining that he'll never find his way where, we don't really know. So he's just complaining about being lost, basically. Togepi smacks right into Meowth's face while he's sitting there complaining, and it knocks both of them back, and so both are now falling down the hill, and narrowly miss some Diglett and Dugtrio before they both drop into a deep hole. The other Pokemon catch up and look down the hole, and these Pokemon are Pikachu and Venonat, which is Tracy's, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and Tracy's Meryl. So none of Misty's Pokemon, except for Togepi, who isn't really Misty's Pokemon.
It's actually Ash's Pokemon.
But this also means a Pokemon's missing. And as they're all shouting down into the hole for Togepi, they hear something behind them and look back to see Psyduck. So we do have a Misty Pokemon catching up, and he's running down the hill uncontrolled. And so then he smacks into the rest of the group, and it sends them all down into the pit. And then we get a song playing as credits roll. And the song sings stuff about coming to the rescue, things like that, because this is, you know, Pikachu's rescue adventure. And it was kind of a cool tune. I really enjoyed it. And during the song, we see them all falling down for a while, and then they are in some kind of open area that, like, high above some giant tree and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Which I'm kind of confused about. I don't know if that's all underground or if it just landed them some other area that happened, like, maybe they were up on a mountain somewhere. I don't know. I don't understand the geography of all this.
But when the song was playing, didn't it, like, just go over the land or whatever and then, like, show us where they were going?
It doesn't. It keeps us on the Pokemon, because then it shows them landing on the Lediba and being flown around on Lediba, which is how we get a good look of the land and, like, the waterfall and things like that. Yeah, so they're riding around on Lediba, and they pass, like, a swarm of Pidgeotto or Pidgey. They go by a waterfall that has a Gyarados jumping around in the pond. There's a Krabby or a Kingler somewhere nearby, and a Poliwag and Whirl or Raff. And then there was something else in the background of one of them that I couldn't quite make out. They were on some rocks, and it looked like they were some kind of Pokemon, but they almost looked like they were a Pokemon that I don't even think is in Gen 2. It might be from some other gen, so I don't know what that was about. I don't know if it was some Pokemon they thought about putting in something and then they got cut or something. Who knows? And then as the credits finish, we find the Poke group on the giant tree or trees that are all tangled together or whatever it all is. And they fall down in amongst them and scare up some Spearow that fly by, which go right by some passing Fearow. And then they meet another Johto Pokemon that the show had teased back by Tracy's drawing in, what episode was that? Was that the other gym episode with Misty?
I don't remember what episode it was.
Like the Misty Meets Her Match episode, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Okay. I thought it was like a movie or something.
No, it wasn't a movie. It was definitely in another episode, because he was talking to Professor Oak about it.
I thought he was talking to Professor Oak, by the
way. No, it was another episode somewhere. But anyway, it's Elekid, which is what he drew those little ears of, hiding behind some bushes. Squirtle gets on his shades and is ready to get into it, but Pikachu and Elekid exchange some jolts of friendship. Then we see a ton of other Kanto Pokemon, like Arbok and Clefairy and Mankey and Eevee!
Eevee! Have what?
So then, when Eevee shows up, they also sneak in another new Johto Pokemon as Hoot Hoot peeks out from inside a tree. As we go through a lot more Kanto Pokemon, we get an awesome appearance by Ruby's favorite, Bellsprout, and its evolution.
Eevee's not my favorite, thank you very much.
We all know the truth. You love Bellsprout.
Me.
It's like how Tracy said with Misty being so mad at Psyduck.
Exactly!
But then, remember at the end of the episode when he decided that she does maybe actually hate it?
He starts to have some second thoughts about it. He has doubts, but we all know the truth.
Oh, come on!
Meanwhile, we catch up with Meowth, who is by the waterfall, and it turns out his backpack got caught on a branch, so he's just dangling over the pool of water. His screaming causes the Gyarados to jump up at him and just barely miss consuming the poor cat, which is kind of funny that a fish almost ate a cat. Pikachu explains something to Elekid, and we assume it's about the missing Togepi, and maybe how they all got there. Because there's no words, right? It's just Pikachu going Pika Pika Pika.
Yeah.
Pika Pika. Pika Pika Pika.
Elekid seems to know something, or have an idea, and leads the group to some branches that have a bunch of execute nests. Maybe Elekid thought Pikachu was just describing an egg Pokemon. Oh, but look, Togepi is in one of the nests.
Oh, I know why. Togepi. I know why. I know why.
Yeah, it's missing one of its eggs. Right?
Yes.
It's missing one of its executes, so they just replaced the execute with a Togepi.
And on one of the Pokemon cards I read with execute, that as soon as one of their friends go missing, they start searching for it.
But they stop searching because they had an egg there.
Uh-huh.
Bulbasaur tries to pull Togepi out as the execute look menacingly at Pikachu, and then they bite Bulbasaur's vine, causing him pain. Then Squirtle counts the execute, and that's how we find out that they are one egg short. And it's funny watching the Squirtle count them, because it's just like my son, who's my toddler, whatever, when he counts, he just makes a noise, right? It reminded me of him. And so, yeah, it just seems that the execute think that Togepi is a suitable replacement, or it is actually their egg, or whatever. And then they let Togepi walk off. But they all follow it, because they're all one Pokemon in their mind. Pikachu seems to get an idea, and the group wanders off. They come to a very pretty area with water separated by like a land bridge kind of thing. And the group is walking on that bridge. And here they meet a trio of another new Pokemon. Bellossom!
What's Bellossom?
They look like little hula dancer flowers.
What are hula dancer flowers?
Well, do you know what a hula dancer is?
Like
the grass skirt in Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of look like that, but as flowers.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
And they're a different evolution from Gloom, I believe.
Wait, they are?
Yep.
But they're not gloomy at all.
I know. If you use a sunstone, Gloom turns into that instead of...
I need Gloom and a sunstone.
Vileplume. At least that's how it is in Pokemon Go.
I need a Gloom and a sunstone now.
So yeah, we get Bellossom. They give a dance performance, which there's a bunch of Gloom and Vileplume around that also are dancing. And then a bunch of Kanto water Pokemon join in at the end of like that little bridge, which isn't fully a bridge, I guess, because it doesn't completely cross the water. The group hears some noise and go into a darker area and find a bunch of Clefairy bouncing around on some rocks saying, Clefairy! Clefairy! Fable, fable, fable. Sorry. Pikachu gets nervous, and rightly so, as the bouncing Clefairy decide to pull off Metronome in midair, which causes an explosion, sending the group shooting upward.
It seems like Metronome usually causes an explosion.
It seems that way. They land on some springy leaves and enjoy bouncing around for a bit, Elekid and Pikachu climbing higher by bounding from one leaf to another. Meanwhile, Meowth is all doom and gloom in his precarious position. But it turns out Pikachu's and Elekid's bouncing gets out of control and they go flying out into the waterfall area. They catch a hold of Meowth, which bends the branch and sends them all flying back into the trees, where they all land on a Snorlax, giving him a belly button for a moment as it goes inside. And then he expands back out and sends them all flying into the pond, flying back into the water at the bottom of the waterfall. Then we find them all riding up the waterfall on the Gyarados, where Meowth tries to get rid of Pikachu, causing Pikachu to get angry and zap Meowth, which also then zaps Gyarados. Gyarados falls back after flinging the group into the trees again, except Meowth, actually gets flung into the sky where he says, "Looks like I'm blasting off flow!" Ding! In the sky, dark clouds roll in, and menacing music plays. Wind starts blowing pretty hard, and clearly a bad storm is coming. All the Pokemon rush into the trees and hide from the storm. They have all their little holes in the trees or whatever. But the Exeggute nests are being blown about with Exeggute still in them. So Pikachu and the rest, including Elekid, go and grab the nests to keep them from being flung away. It's not going well as they are getting dragged along with the nests because the wind is so strong. But then, many of the Pokemon come out of hiding and lend a hand to each of the others to keep the nest safe. Pikachu and Wigglytuff are still struggling with Togepi's nest and are about to lose control when Snorlax shows up to help.
Yay, Snorlax!
And I love Snorlax's expression. He just seems so happy and friendly when he shows up like that. Like, he just smiles down at them. He ends up blocking the wind for all the nest rescuers. So, like, the wind is just blowing against his back, which lessens it for everybody holding the nests. But then lightning strikes and causes a large branch to fall, startling Snorlax. He turns and covers his head, allowing the wind to go by. Psyduck is hilariously on his face, tail in the air, being pushed along the branch by the powerful wind. I just think it's so funny. He's just like laying there with his butt up and his feet kind of like waggling or whatever as the wind pushes him. What's up, Vi?
Snorlax didn't get startled. He got distracted by an apple.
No, that's later, actually. He did get startled by the branch. He got very scared by the lightning strike and the falling branch. The apple is something that does happen, though. We're gonna get there. Pikachu snaps Snorlax out of it with a shout, and as more lightning strikes and more branches crash, Snorlax fights against his urge to cower and then continues to block the wind. Then a branch nearly lands on the group, so Pikachu is all like, "That's it," and rushes off up the branches and out of an opening in the trees where he can confront the clouds. Then he sends his own thunderbolts out to fight off the lightning strikes that try to come down and strike the tree some more, which is what causes all the branches to fall down. Then Elekid rushes up there to join Pikachu. They hold hands, and with their powers combined, I am Captain Planet! Sorry, just kidding. That was from an old cartoon show I used to watch. They would shoot their rings of power out. There was earth, wind, water, and fire, and heart. And with their powers combined, Captain Planet would show up to help, you know, save the world from pollution and stuff. Alright. Anyway, just kidding about that. But they do combine their powers to fight off the lightning. They work together, but then one of the lightning bolts still slips through and ends up lighting the whole tree on fire. But Squirtle and Meryl make short work of the fire. Good job, guys. Togepi cheers, and then that nest starts flying off. Bulbasaur quickly snatches it with a vine, but then Bulbasaur flies into the air as well, and he's grabbed by Machop, who is then grabbed by Venonat, and so on.
As it keeps, like,
yeah, as they keep getting lifted off the ground, basically. Well, not even the ground, the branch, whatever. Whatever they're standing on. Pikachu and Elekid rush down to help, as they are all continually getting lifted off the branch. Psyduck tries to help as well, but a smallish rock drops on his head and causes him to trip and fall, and then the rock tumbles down the branch and lands on his head again. But Snorlax catches them and catches the group that are flying off and anchors them all down, holding on to Pikachu with both hands. But then fruit starts to fly by in the wind, and, well, you know, it is Snorlax, and he's a hungry guy. So it lets go with one hand and starts trying to grab the fruit, which then causes him to lose grip of Pikachu, and they all go flying off in a line, hanging off the nest.
Goodbye, everybody.
Pikachu manages to grab a branch with his mouth and hang on for a bit, because he's apparently not heard the rule around here. Teeth are not tools.
Yes, they are.
I still use my teeth as tools.
I know. But he can't hang on forever and flies off. By then, Snorlax must have snapped out of it and quickly catches Pikachu to anchor them all down once again. Then Snorlax starts pulling them all down like they're a weird rope made of Pokemon. And they feel better getting onto the branch. But while Bulbasaur is still flying up at the top of the whole rope situation, he starts to lose hold of the nest. And Pikachu scurries up the rope and quickly grabs the vine that Bulbasaur has out and then grabs the nest, becoming a link between the vine and the nest. Snorlax finishes pulling them all down, and a few minutes later, the storm breaks up.
I thought Snorlax got pushed by the wind at one point.
Nope.
He didn't?
Nope.
I thought it did.
Not that I recalled from the couple times I watched this movie. The only thing is like he was blocking all the wind.
Yeah.
Then when the lightning struck, he turned sideways and cowered, letting all the wind go through past him, which blew other people. But then he finally got back up and blocked it again. And then he was holding on to Pikachu, and then the fruit flew by, so then he tried to grab the fruit for a while, which he lost grip of everybody again, so he had to grab them all again.
But I'm pretty sure he got pushed.
Well, you go rewatch it and show me where I'm wrong.
Okay. Where's the phone or something?
Not right now.
Oh, man.
Anyway, after the storm breaks up, we get a nice shot of the tree from a distance again, and we see a Dragonair fly by the giant tree towards a rainbow up in the sky.
Weren't you and Persia really confused of if what kind of Pokemon it was? And I was like, is it Dragonair? And you're like, but it doesn't quite
no, right. It was you and Daddy.
I was not
confused. Yes, you were!
Maybe you weren't either.
Well, I know for sure Daddy was confused.
I wasn't confused.
Yes, you were.
I'm never confused.
That's not true.
I always know everything going on.
But sometimes when I tell you stuff, you get confused.
That's because you say no things sense. In a confusing way.
So you do get confused.
Yeah, but that's just because it's nonsense. I always know what's actually going
on. It is not nonsense.
I have perfect knowledge.
Daddy.
No, you're right. I was a little confused by the flying Dragonair. I couldn't quite place how everything worked at the wings and stuff. I was like a little lost, but I was also trying to take notes at the same time. So.
Daddy.
What's up, bye guy?
You had a little like heart on your back upside down. Is your hair?
You have a heart on your back that's upside down.
And I have an upside down heart on my back because of my hair.
But it broke.
Oh, okay. Anyway, and seeing the Dragonair was actually made me start to wonder something. If they were the one who caused and or broke up the storm. Since we learned in the band episode that, and in the manga, I think, too, that Dragonair mess with the weather.
They do?
Yeah. But they started making it rain in the band episode when they're in the Safari Zone. Remember that one?
They did.
Mm-hmm. You remember that, Ruby?
Oh, yeah.
Dragonair having control of the weather?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was wondering if they caused the storm or broke it up or did both, since we saw Dragonair fly at the end of there.
They did. Both.
I think he probably definitely broke it up, but I don't know.
Oh, and speaking of the band episode, since it was not dubbed in English, because it was banned, you know, and so therefore it was never released here, that means this is the first time, except for the poker rap at the end of every episode, that we finally had a Dragonair show up in...
Wait, what?
The cartoon stuff. Because the only other time a dragon, or Dragonair / Dratini and all that stuff showed up was in that band episode, I think.
Wait, what about that giant one?
That Dragonite, yes, the final evolution, yes, that showed up in that lighthouse episode. But we didn't see Dragonair in any episode except for the band episode, and possibly Dratini. Anyway, then a Chansey shows up carrying the missing Execute egg, which it's carrying inside its pouch where it usually has an egg anyway, which makes me wonder where the Chansey's regular egg is then. And it also makes me wonder if maybe Chansey's always carry around Execute eggs, and that's the egg they carry around.
I don't think so. I'm gonna guess that someone stole it or it just went missing.
One time in a movie or something about Pokemon, the Chansey was sharing its egg and it just kept pulling out more eggs.
Oh, it just has a bunch of eggs in there? Anyway, this egg being returned allows Togepi to be released. The Execute joined their missing egg right around what looks like So when I was watching it, but it looked like an open walnut on the branch. This thing that, like, when the Execute rushed down to join their missing Execute piece, they're near this little speck on the branch that looks kind of like an open walnut. And they dance around it, and then the nut starts to glow, and we get Executor! So then once the evolution is complete, we see...
I was starting to get super annoyed that it was evolving. I was like, come on!
Another
excuse that time.
Executor, well, the same excuse as I've created all along. Because when the glow diminishes on the walnut, we find that it is actually a leaf stone.
And I think it was the rock that hit Psyduck.
It is. So I went back and checked things purposefully because of this. I slowed down the show super slow, like pausing it constantly. And saw that in just the slightest flash of the leaf indent on the rock that tumbles onto Psyduck's head earlier in the episode, in the cartoon.
I was just about to ask, wasn't that the rock that hits?
Yup.
Because didn't I say that it was probably the rock that hit Psyduck earlier?
You might have, I don't know. So yeah, and when I found out that there was a leaf indent on there, I did also like look for a leaf indent on what I thought looked like an open walnut. And if you're looking for the leaf shape, you can tell that that's what it's supposed to be. Wait, what? The walnut that they all gathered around, it wasn't actually a walnut, it was a leaf stone, but it looked like an open walnut when I saw them running over to see each other. So it was just really cool that the show purposely, like this little short, lined everything up. They had the rock fall in the storm, hit Psyduck, so we got a glimpse of it early on before they all rushed towards it to, like, make it very clear that, like, this was all intentional. So there was a couple things that I was wondering once I realized it was the leaf stone, too. First of all, it didn't vanish. The stone didn't vanish. And I thought that's what they were supposed to do. I haven't gone back and watched, like, the Eevee Evolution Party episode, but I thought the stones vanished after being used. But maybe they don't. I don't know.
It looked like it vanished. Or in the Eevee Evolution.
So, if they do vanish, then there's an inconsistency here, or...
It's from the manga.
This stone is just like the one in the manga. Yeah. The special stones. But if I'm wrong and they don't vanish, then the stones probably just get used up and can't be used a second time. So, like, the power's out of it, but the stone just kind of remains.
But they do vanish.
I don't remember for sure. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty sure they vanish.
But the other note about this whole situation is this shows that these stones can just show up laying around, just like a certain other episode where an executor suddenly showed up. The March of the Executor Squad was the name of the episode where we got Charmeleon.
I thought we'd come to a mutual agreement on this.
What's that mutual agreement?
Bringing it back?
Well, it's just, this proves my theory.
What was her theory?
She has no theory. She just hates it. So, it's pretty in our face here. And with the same...
It was possible, very possible, that there were stones in the leaf forest.
Yes, you finally did admit that.
But... it was still a little off that he just evolved.
Okay, so here's the thing. This one's right... Listen, this one they put it right in our face and with the exact same Pokemon that caused our argument before, right? It was an execute, suddenly become executor, right? And it seems to me that they may have done that on purpose to correct, quote-unquote, or explain the Executor Squad incident. Because I do not think... that the people who did the March of the Executor Squad episode knew what they were doing. Like, I came up with a good theory for it, but I don't think that was necessarily their intention.
Ha-ha!
But, I admitted this before with, like, the manga. Like, when Poliwhirl became Poliwrath, they evolved him without explanation. Then it seemed like it was just because he leveled up because he rescued his trainer. But then later, they gave us an explanation because they realized, oh, wait. And I think that's what they're doing here. They're like, oh, wait. Maybe we should make this more, like, explicit. You know what I mean?
So we were both right from before.
Sort of.
They didn't use a leaf stone, but they did use a leaf stone.
Right. They didn't use one in the actual anime, but they realized, hey, wait a second. People are getting cranky about that because they're supposed to have a leaf stone.
No kidding, that was cranky.
But your argument that it seems that the timing is weird. The timing is weird here, too. They finally get their eggs, like, their missing egg back. And it just so happens on this random leaf stone that happened to be... Just because we saw it, the leaf stone get there, doesn't make it any less bizarre, right? The coincidence is still pretty strong, wouldn't you agree?
In a little way, yes.
In a way that I don't want to completely admit to it because I don't like it.
No, I was right from before. They didn't use a leaf stone, but then they went back to correct it. So I'm satisfied.
I'm just glad that they have an explanation, just like what they did with the manga, though. It's like, well, we didn't think of it before, but here's now an explanation for how it could have happened by showing it happen in a different way. So we see the Poke Group leave their new Pokemon friends now that they have Togepi back. And then we cut to Meowth drifting down a river into a lake by a bunch of tents and a cabin or two. He says he never wants to go to camp ever again. So he was at least at camp. And it makes me wonder if everybody was at camp.
What do you mean?
Like, we don't know where Tracy, Misty, and everybody were when this all started.
They were sleeping underneath the tree.
Yeah, but then Meowth was also nearby, obviously, trying to find his way back somewhere. And he says he was trying to get to camp, and I'm wondering if they were all planning on being at camp, at the same camp or something. And then, and this becomes even more, like, an interesting fact, or factor into everything, because when Ash and Co. wake up from under the tree, they wonder where their Pokemon went. But then they hear them playing in the lake, which is the same lake that Meowth drifted into because we see all the tents and cabins and stuff behind them. So they were sleeping under a tree right next to all the camping people. So, I just was curious of why they were all there and what was going on there and why we see the campsite later and why didn't we see it earlier and why did they sleep under a tree instead of a tent or a cabin? So, I was just a little confused about that. One thing I think is interesting, though, which is common with cartoons, is that it seems like the movie and the short were almost like an advertisement for the new Pokemon games coming out because they introduced the new Pokemon that are going to be in those games. Yeah. Because, like, there was a cartoon for G.I. Joe. Have you ever seen G.I. Joe toys?
I've heard of them.
Yeah, the little army men guys.
I've never seen them, but I've heard of them.
And Transformers were a toy.
Oh, yeah, Transformers.
And there was a cartoon for that, too. Like, there was a lot of cartoons that were made specifically to promote toys that were already out there. The toys weren't based off the cartoon. The cartoons were based off the toys. Not all cartoons are that way. Like, the Turtles cartoon was based off the comic book and everything, but... But, of course, they used it to sell toys, and they came up with new ideas for toys, and they used the cartoon to promote those toys by, like, hey, put this in your cartoon. Yeah, cartoons are big advertisements a lot of times, or at least they used to be. So, I do want to go over, though, the list of Pokemon from Johto we have so far. We have Ho-Oh, which was in the first episode of the anime. So, Ho-Oh's a bird, golden bird thing that we saw that flew over Ash's head after the whole...
Pikachu liking him.
Yeah. So Ho-Oh was in the very first episode of the anime, so we got a Johto Pokemon right off the bat. Then we get Togepi, which we get the egg showing up in the prehistoric Pokemon episode where Charmeleon evolves into Charizard, and then it hatches later in the Who Gets to Keep Togepi episode. We got Snubbull in the first Pikachu short, Pikachu's Vacation, and we got Meryl also in Pikachu's Vacation, and then throughout the Orange Islands because Tracy has Meryl. We got Donphan, which was in the first Pokemon movie, Mewtwo Strikes Back. And then in this, we got Ledyba, Elekid, which we also saw a glimpse of Elekid in the drawing before, Hoot Hoot, and Bell Awesome. So we have 9 Johto Pokemon that have showed up before the game has been released. So that's kind of fun. Alright, so we had to cut this episode in half for YouTube. It's all on Spotify in one whole thing, but you'll have 2 more pop up in halves because it was too long to upload to YouTube. So this is the end of the first chunk as we finished up the coverage on the Pikachu short, and the other chunk, which is longer, will be covering the movie and other stuff. So if you want to hear the rest of all this, just tune into the next half. Thanks.